right. It is time, the continuation of the Isla of Ann show. And today it is my very great pleasure to have Tim Mooney on the air with us. He is down in Newberry. I understand he's sitting in his car right there in almost downtown Newberry. How you doing today, Tim?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good, very good. You know, I think it was back, 2009 that you were here in Greenwood, and you were on the stage with Beth.
I actually had to go look it up, but it was 2009.
Right. And you and Beth did a show there at the Greenwood Community Theater, and then you were also over at Lander.
That's right.
That's right. So
yeah, we did The Misanthrope at Greenwood Community Theater. And I did a performance of my then one-man show, Karaoke Night, the one-man rock opera at Lander.
So, and now, is this show that you're doing now is a one-man show too, isn't it?
That's correct. This is my fifth or sixth one-man show that I've performed through the course of the years. And this looks like it may be one of the most popular of the bunch.
Really? Well, that's great. Now, the name of this show, tell us a little bit about the show.
This one's called The Greatest Speech of All Time, and it's a collection of great speeches through history from actual historical characters, starting with Socrates and weaving its way through Mark Antony. I've forgotten who some of the characters are. Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass,
Teddy Roosevelt,
Emma Goldman, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Winston Churchill, and Martin Luther King.
And just out of curiosity, when the audience sees this, are you changing costumes as you do this, or are you how does this work on the stage?
In this instance, I actually stick with the same costume throughout. I have just a couple of little props to indicate necessary pieces of the action in the scene. But what we do is we have a slideshow projecting kind of over my head behind me with photos and illustrations or portraits of the actual characters who originally gave these speeches.
Now, when did you come up with this program here?
Well, this one actually is kind of an offshoot of a program that I created in 2010, which was I was probably working on it while I was in Greenwood in 2009. Which is called Lot O' Shakespeare. And what I did for that one is I memorized one monologue from every Shakespeare play, which, as it turns out, is a total of 38 plays, 38 monologues, and 6 sonnets.
Wow.
And in that collection of material, there are 2 speeches that are based on actual historical speeches that were given. That included Mark Antony, who was giving Caesar's funeral oration, which is the one that famously begins, "Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears."
Correct.
And the other one was Henry V, his speech before the troops at Agincourt before their great victory over the French.
Hmm. Okay. So this, out of that, you said, I'm going to
Out of that, I discovered that those 2 pieces were amongst the most rousing pieces in the collection of Shakespearean performances. And I wanted to get at what it was about those that was really getting to people. Not only that they were actually historically accurate, but it was the way in which Shakespeare structured their rhetoric in order to inspire and move people from one place to another. In Mark Antony's case, for instance, Brutus has just gotten up and spoken before the crowd and told them that Caesar was ambitious. And then Mark Antony comes along and entirely undermines Brutus's argument before the crowd to the point that the crowd is ready to stand up and mutiny and chase after Brutus and the co-conspirators in Caesar's assassination. In the case of Henry V, his troops are reluctant about facing off against, they're outnumbered by the French about 6-1. And they are wishing that, oh, some of the troops who stayed back home in England might be here to join them. And Henry V overhears this and comes in and gives them a rousing speech of how proud they should be to be able to win this great victory that they are clearly going to win and be heroes for the rest of their lives.
Well, now, I got to ask you this, Tim. Now, when you were growing up, did you have to play by yourself a lot?
Well, I have three older brothers, so I played by myself when they would race off and leave me alone. But I've always, let's say, had an imagination.
Did you have a lot of imaginary friends?
I don't recall. It's been a long time since childhood.
Well, this sounds like a terrific play that you have done here, and of course, people are going to be coming down there to the Newbury Opera House. But, you know, not only are you doing this, but you actually go into the schools and whatnot, because I know when you were here, you did some of that.
Yes, I do. How I spend most of my travel is doing high schools and colleges, and all over the country. I'm from here, I race westward for a while, and I've now performed in 46 of the 48 contiguous states. The only ones I haven't hit yet are Mississippi and Wyoming.
Well, are you going to make those an accomplishment, a goal in 2013?
I keep working them, but it usually my ability to go into any given state is very dependent upon how the state senate has done in recent years in terms of allocating funds for education.
Well, that's a great topic right there. Now, how have you found it out there, Tim? Particularly with the way the budget is there any states particularly that are generous to the arts?
The generous one, it's harder to remember the generous ones than it is the stingy ones. California has been struggling for years now, for instance.
Right.
And as big as that state is, I only maybe. I'm lucky if I can do one performance there on my swing through. Whereas Pennsylvania has done fairly well of late. Virginia used to be better than it is now. And Florida is recovering a little bit. It's 50 different situations, and you never know how much is dependent on what money the Senate has brought in. And how much is depend? I'm. Somebody just noticed my license plate. As I told you, I'm sitting in my car. And how much is dependent on the initiative of given teachers?
Sure.
Most of the teachers that I work with actually tend to be teachers of French because the work that I do is with the French playwright Molière, who I've been working with now for about 15 years, and. What just happened a moment ago as I was speaking is a fellow was walking by. He noticed my license plate, which is an Illinois license plate. I'm out of Illinois, which reads Molière as opposed to some odd, random number.
And so did he ask you to roll down your window and give him an autograph yet?
He smiled and laughed, and I waved. He could tell I was on the phone.
Well, that's good. Now, listen, just as far as... What type of responses have you been getting for doing this, your latest one, The Greatest Speech of All Time? Which one do you think, okay, two questions, the response that you've been getting, and number two, which speech do you think gives that people love to hear again?
That's a tough one because I think everyone tends to have their favorite. There's one in particular that I think people either think it's kind of out of step with the rest of the show, or it's their absolute favorite. And that one is a speech by Teddy Roosevelt. And I'll give away the secret on this one, which you otherwise don't find out until I'm actually delivering it. Teddy Roosevelt is giving a speech immediately after having gotten shot. In the midst of a crowd, someone comes up and shoots at him. And the bullet goes in, it's inside of him, but 5 minutes before the speech, he will not give in and go off to the hospital. He insists that he has to give the speech instead. And he keeps complaining that it's far more important that he finish this speech than that he rush off and take care of his own needs. And it's it's fairly hilarious in context, although I'm sure it was extremely serious to everyone who was in the room at the time.
And very painful to him, I would presume.
Yes, well, he keeps insisting. I mean, he's you know, famous for having led the charge up San Juan Hill, and so he had a kind of an ego about not letting anything or anyone stand in his way.
Sure. So this performance that you're going to be doing is at the Newbury Opera House. Any place else that you're going to be in South Carolina, or are you racing off to another part of the country?
Well, the next stop is actually going to be in Texas. I've got about 4 performances lined up there. Actually, I do quite a lot in Texas these days. So from here, I'm going to a couple stops along the way in Georgia and New Orleans, but I'll end up in Laredo, Texas, with a performance of my Molière show, which is called Molière Then Thou. And then I'm appearing at the Texas Educational Theater Association, and then another college in Texas, and then it looks like probably off to Colorado for a show.
You know, Tim, how do you feel about being on the road? You've been doing this for, I think, many years. How do you feel about always being on the road and being kind of a vagabond, I guess you could say?
Well, it's a trade-off. It means that I have very little of a life of my own, and it means that I'm sitting in my car for extended periods of time. I'm closing in on 500,000 miles of travel on the road. I think I'm at 480,000 over the course of the last 11 years, and so I essentially live out of my car. I live out of hotel rooms every once in a while. Like in Greenwood, I actually get to unpack the car and stay for 5 or 6 weeks and actually produce or act in or direct a full presentation of one of these plays, which is a lot of fun for me.
Absolutely. So any plans to be coming back here to Greenwood anytime?
That's all dependent on where we can set something up with Lander or the Greenwood Community Theater. But I loved my time in Greenwood, and I'm hoping we can set something up soon.
That sounds great. Well, Tim, you are going to be down there at the Newbury Opera House on Wednesday evening. That is correct?
I think it's Tuesday evening, which is tonight, I'm not mistaken. Is today Tuesday?
Yes, today is Tuesday. It's the 15th.
We're on tonight. So Tuesday the 15th, yes.
And had you been to the Newbury Opera House before, or this is your first time there?
I have just peeked into the theater once. About 3 years ago, the last time I was in town. So this will be my first time performing there.
Wow. Well, you know, that is a really nice and really, really nice facility down there, and you get a really nice feeling of being close to your audience and everything, so I know you're going to enjoy it.
Yes, I'm sure I will.
Absolutely. So that is tonight, Newbury Opera House, 803-276-6264. You ought to make the trip down there. You do a fabulous job. It was fabulous when we saw you here in Greenwood. And I know that this new one is excellent. Tim, you do have a website where people can go and look up more information about you, correct?
Yes, I do. It's timmooneyrep.com. That's short for my company name, which is the Timothy Mooney Repertory Theater. Which is kind of its own joke because I perform a repertory of plays, but they're all one-man plays, so it is the Timothy Mooney Repertory Theater.
Well, the other side of this, maybe you couldn't find anybody that would work with you, Tim. Had to do your own show.
I never scored well on plays well with others.
Okay, and also, don't you even have some stuff on YouTube if people want to see what it's about before they make the trip down there?
Yes, I have a flood of stuff on YouTube. I think there are about 200 or more videos on there of stuff from both this new show, The Greatest Speech of All Time, as well as my Molière and Shakespeare work. And I have my own channel there, which is called Molière Lover, all one word.
Why do you love Molière so much?
He and I seem to have a very similar sense of humor. About 15 years ago, I started writing new variations of the plays of Molière in rhymed iambic pentameter, and they just kind of caught fire with me for a while, and I became the Molière guy somehow.
Well, that sounds great. Your new play, one more time, The Greatest Speech of All Time, is at the Newbury Opera House tonight, 8 p.m. And, Tim, I wish you all the best. I understand that you're actually going to be doing some other programs down there at the schools, too. So certainly enjoy your time at the Newbury Opera House. And when you see Deborah Smith, say hello.
I sure will. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye, Tim.
Okay, bye-bye.